On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, get your weekend started right. Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, special broadcast of this show. We'll be there from 2 to 6 on Friday, eating and drinking and enjoying all the scenic views, getting you ready for game 2 of the NBA Finals and much more as we head towards a big weekend. Friday, 2 to 6, Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you come by. We are going to talk more about Drake London's extension, which is a big deal. But before we get into the dog report, there is a dog story and then a Falcon story that is out there that we just kind of want to get out there and clear the air, Mike, because this is kind of what we were waiting on. We didn't know how soon it would happen. We thought maybe, all right, before the season starts, but it's been even faster than that.
Yeah, we were worried that Zachariah Branch would have to deal with the hassle of having to go to court over this. Now we find out state prosecutors have dropped criminal charges against our new wide receiver. Remember, was arrested April 19th in Athens on two misdemeanors for allegedly not following a police officer's commands. His attorney, Kim Stevens, tells ESPN the state prosecutors reviewed the evidence, including videos. I presume maybe that means body cam. And dismissed the charges. So the charges have been dismissed against Zachariah Branch. You and I kind of felt it was an overstep from perhaps, an overeager a member of the Athens Clark County PD. They said that Zachariah cooperated fully with law enforcement, did not commit a crime. We all thought it screamed Barney Fife. It just seemed like a guy, you'll respect my authority, move on the sidewalk. And he didn't move in a timely fashion, and the whole thing, a great big nothing. And I hope it didn't affect him as far as his draft status, but he was projected to be a second rounder. We got him in the third.
Yeah.
I don't know if some team saw that. And again, and just more, it's embarrassing for him outside of Atlanta. We knew what the circumstances were around it, but it was still, something should never have happened.
No. I think most people feel the same way. I would be even willing to say it was kind of an egregious arrest from the standpoint of, the cause.
Right.
Diffuse, right? De-escalate. If a kid's on the sidewalk and, you're asking him to move, what's the big deal? And especially if they knew who he was, right? Let's just be honest. Everybody's not treated the same. He's a football player at Georgia. Hey, Zachariah, come on, man, help me out. I'm trying to maneuver. I think it just could have been handled in a different way. But nevertheless, he had to deal with that. And so the good news is it's behind him.
Right.
And so.
And apparently there were many people that were on the sidewalk at the time. It happened to be him who got pinched over it. Either way, good to know that that's in the rear view for Zachariah Branch. Charges dropped in Athens, Clark County.
All right, man. Let's talk about what's going on today, because the big news around college football is Nick Saban in front of Congress. And he had a few things to say. Let's talk some dogs. Look, do I think change needs to happen? Yeah. But it's got to come from a bipartisan bill that actually affects the entire country, Mike. It can't be one conference. It can't be one school. And that is really what the fight is about. Mm. And so Nick Saban asked Congress today to bring order via this college sports bill. And again, it's not the end-all of end-alls. No bill is, guys. It's not going to answer all the questions and fix everything. But you got to have a starting point. So he said Congress doesn't need to micromanage college athletics, but we do need, enforceable rules. Here is Saban talking today, first on the growth of NIL.
Let me give you the history. My first year we had collective at Alabama, $2.7 million. Next year, $7 million. Next year, $10 million. I retired. Next year, $17 million. Next year, $24 million. Now you have schools that have close to $40 million rosters. So if we continue to do that, we're going to lose Olympic sports, we're going to lose non-revenue sports, we're going to lose scholarships, and basically what's going to happen is you're going to have football and basketball succeed, and we'll have club sports for everything else.
Yeah, it's one of the things that Kirby has pointed out as well, talking to the media at the coaches' meetings down at Destin, that all the TV revenue that is driven from basketball and from football basically pays the freight of the sports that don't really get that juice. Now, women's sports is getting more and more traction on TV with ESPN and the ACC and SEC networks for that matter. But what the lifeblood of the programs, Carl, is the money that comes from the football and basketball TV money.
It is. And look, Saban's not telling a fib there. Even though I will say this, I do have a problem with Nick sitting there and acting as if when he was doing this, it was all above board. Like, it was all fair and equal, and it wasn't. But here's what he said about it becoming an arms race in college football today in front of Congress.
It's become an arms race. Who spends the most has got the best chance to win. But I think it's a race to the bottom because if you don't spend to win, you lose your fan base and you don't have any revenue.
That's it. And it becomes the ultimate haves and have-nots. Now, the only thing is the top 25 generally is the top 25. And maybe you could expand across to the top 40 in college football as far as programs. Like, you know, Georgia Tech was out there for a minute. Now they're back in the mix. But generally, it's the same teams. You know, it's the same conferences. You know, one thing it has done is allowed potential bottom feeders. And that's the counter to Nick's argument is Indiana was the worst program in the history of college football. They just won a national championship.
Yeah. Here's my issue, Mike, with Coach Saban, who, by the way, is the greatest. I'm not going to debate that. But you retired because when the rules changed, it didn't benefit you anymore. And you realized all those payments under the table, Alabama fans, you heard me.
Well, are you saying that Nick Saban was aware? Are you going on record with this? You feel Nick Saban was aware of improprieties involving Alabama?
Mike, if it's on this 100,000-watt radio station, it's being said. Yes, I'm on the record. Here's the deal. Everybody now can do what Alabama did for so many years. You guys don't want to say that, and you don't want to face it, but it's the truth. Guys, how the hell did Nick Saban get all these number one recruiting classes year after year? You're just going to tell me it was the best place for every recruit to go? I'm not buying that. And as a matter of fact, I don't believe that for one second. So him being a guy in front of Congress, yes, he's probably the right person to give this message and to talk about the state of college football. But let's not fool ourselves. He quit and went home because, Mike, when the rules changed, it didn't benefit him anymore. And he couldn't do the things that he was able to do because everybody's able to do it now.
Yeah,
and so here's the thing. When Alabama was dominating, right, and they were allegedly paying guys, nobody was saying anything because it was just, all right, common knowledge, all right, fine, he'll get the players he needs to get. And the thing is now, you just said it, teams are outspending other teams, and now he's talking about this arms race. It's just ironic to me. It's almost hypocritical that when he was involved and he was doing it and he was the guy and they were winning a lot, nobody was saying anything, and now the rules have changed, and it's completely different.
Well, I mean, Nick's always been the guy to sort of, you know, get something that he doesn't have, complain about it, and then adapt to it. You know, famously, you know, when Gus Malzahn in the up-tempo offense, remember how, oh, that's a dangerous offense. Kid's going to get hurt. Too many, I mean, like, what?
Running 90 plays.
And then all of a sudden, Alabama's doing it. But I can't agree with you that Alabama, you get proof that Alabama was cheating?
Do I need it?
Well, you got to.
Do I need it?
I think he's a really good coach, and I think he created a machine and a pipeline, and people want. We've talked to players and parents whose kids went there for a reason. The same reason kids will take Kirby's less money to go play for Georgia over another school because of what they expect to get and get developed for the NFL.
But what you're seeing with Kirby now is he's not getting those number one classes again.
Right. There's a reason. But again, you prove to me that Nick Saban had.
There's a reason.
Prove to me that Alabama was paying players. Do you think in the world we live in that Auburn and everybody else who wants to knock Alabama off the perch wouldn't have had a smoking gun to send to the NCAA. The last time that Alabama had a high-profile investigation was a bunch of boosters who went renegade trying to get a big defensive lineman from Memphis.
No.
I mean, that's show me more.
Here's the deal. Everybody was doing it. They just weren't doing it as good. That's the thing.
Well, that's so you're telling me that Alabama was as dirty as the Southwestern Conference in the 80s. That's what you're saying to me. And you're not offering any proof. You're just telling me alleged and hearsay.
No, I'm telling you it's unchecked corruption. And
how has
been in college football.
So prove to me that Alabama,
and accepted. It has been. And that's the irony to all of this is now it's out in front of everybody. And now everybody can cut these checks. And now the game has changed. And now, oh, my God, we've got to change it. That's the hypocritical part.
I disagree. You've got to give me some proof that Nick Saban was doing things dirty in Alabama. When any time a team and a program evolves to be the elites and everyone else is trying to play catch-up. I mean, one of the things that he talked about, I will give him this, their collective, it was described, is not one being the elite collective. So you're telling me they went from having this amazing behind-closed-doors system in which players got paid off, and now it's legal. They can't put it together in 3 years? I can't agree with that. It makes no sense.
Well, the coach changed.
Yeah, but I mean, they still weren't.
The message changed. the mechanism in which it all worked
so
and made it work
now it's legal
has
and,
changed.
So now it's legal in Alabama. So, but you're telling me is.
And Alabama hasn't fallen off. But, that's the irony to all this. Coach DeBoer's on the hot seat, Mike, because they're still getting really good players.
But
it's not
Alabama
they suck.
Still doesn't have, when you look at the top rankings, the Texas Techs of the world, the University of Texas. I mean, so by your rationale, I can say that Texas has been cheating this whole time, too.
Got the wrong players.
Everybody's been cheating.
Of course. got the wrong players.
Like you can't say we can't say.
But I'm saying
Nick Saban. We got to have proof.
You can't
Nick
make
Saban.
A blanket statement without giving me some proof about
but
it.
But come on,
it's
Mike,
like
saying, you know,
it's like everybody who says, "Oh, Cam Newton." Everybody knows Cam Newton was going to get money from
Mike,
Auburn.
On, Mike, I could give you proof, but I am not going to out sources that know what's been going on in college football. Okay, and with that said, there are enough people who talk in and around it that know. It's just every coach now is like, yeah, SEC was really good, and this is not a knock. But everybody knew the SEC was doing a little extra to get the guys they were getting.
No, I think the SEC had the best coaches, and they were putting guys in the NFL. You're giving me unsubstantiated nonsense about you can't even cite an example where Alabama was paying somebody off.
Every team in the SEC had great coaches. That's not true.
You just talked about Alabama. What's the difference between Alabama and LSU over those years? LSU had all the money in the world.
He went there and won.
And poor coaching.
Irony?
Yes, and then he left and he goes to Alabama. He's a good coach. Nick Saban is the best coach in the history of college football.
I said that to start the statement. Not the debate. But the debate is the mechanism in which how this is all done.
Yes, it has changed. But again, he was also a guy that did things we thought at a better – he built a machine. He had the best coaches. He had the best program, the best weights, the best everything.
How?
Because people invest in the program.
Oh, exactly. That's how.
All right, so who got paid at Alabama, Carl? Give me a player. Give me a player who got paid at Alabama.
It's not for me to say that.
Nonsense out there without being able to back it up with a kernel of truth.
Because you disagree with it and you don't know anybody that would tell you
this. Okay, so you know all these people. You got a great chance at an expose
but
here. Let's hear it.
I'm giving it to you. You're hearing it live on the radio.
So who got paid at Alabama?
Here's the deal.
Who got paid at Alabama?
Everybody.
Who, Carl? Who got paid at Alabama?
Now you're pulling me. You're pulling my act.
Because you're throwing nonsense out here.
Everybody was doing it.
Okay.
Some were doing it better than others.
And so the NCAA, need to be relevant, more relevant than ever, the NCAA apparently has no inroads on bagging the biggest animal out there to get to basically expose the fraud of Alabama.
Okay.
The NCAA couldn't get anything on them because they're so good at it.
So this tells you exactly what you need to know about where you're at. Why would they?
Why? Because Nick Saban's untouchable. They're too big to fail? That's what you're going to say?
Why would they?
So now you're going to get your own argument.
No. You just said the NCAA would want to bag him. Why would they? Everybody's making money.
Okay.
Why would they?
So why did the NCAA go after USC at the height of their powers? Why did USC have to vacate a title when USC was putting up tremendous TV numbers and they were going to use the championship year after year?
Why hasn't anybody else gotten the death penalty?
Why didn't anyone ever prove that Cam Newton
why hasn't anybody else gotten the death penalty?
Well, they also, you know the reason to that. They knew they could never go back to that.
But you're asking questions about
take scholarships away. There's degrees of where you can investigate and then punish. So how come Cam Newton, no one's ever provided the smoking gun on the great everyone in the world who other than Auburn fans tells me Cam Newton got paid and his family got paid for him to go to Auburn.
I don't know about that. Here's the other thing I would tell you about Coach Saban, that Coach Saban has been good for football. He's been good for college football. This hasn't been a negative mark on the game. And when you start to win and do the things he did at Alabama, Mike, it helped the sport. As a matter of fact, it helped the SEC ascend to what everybody said was the best conference, when in fact it was Alabama carrying the conference.
The thing that Nick Saban did that cheated, you had the gray shirt phenomenon. He did some things to skirt the rules. But if you want to talk, I'm sorry, you can't throw stuff like out there without giving me proof.
No, I absolutely can't.
Well, you can't apparently, but I would not do that. I'm not going to throw something out there I can't prove.
That's you. I'm telling you what I know and what went down, and that's the irony for me with Nick Saban being in front of Congress saying this. You did the same things when you were Alabama, and now it's, there's a war, and there's what was the phrase he used? A battle? What was the
A race to the bottom now.
A race. That's been going on. College football fans, you can't deny this.
Well, the NCAA went after the Southwest Cup.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Friends, we know what happened with SMU, but they also realize that you can never go that far with the penalty. But subsequently, schools have been investigated by the NCAA in the last 25 years.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Mike.
Now,
sign-stealing scandal at Michigan?
Right.
That's about as bad as it gets. You sent a guy to be on the sidelines of other schools to steal their signs so that you would know what plays.
And they gave him a slap on the wrist.
Why?
Too big to fail.
It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.